Opening narration, exact text.
Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're opening quite a fascinating window onto modern India's history.
Yeah, seen through this, well, this meticulous, sometimes bewildered, but always empathetic gaze of one particular man.
Exactly. We're diving deep into the memoir of R.K. Laxman, The Tunnel of Time, an autobiography. It was published back in 1998.
And it's just a remarkable journey, you know? Rasapuram Krishnaswamy Laxman, he lived from 1921 right up to 2015.
An incredible lifespan. And it wasn't just anyone.
No, not at all. He was India's most revered cartoonist, illustrator, humorist, and also a writer. For over 50 years, his pen basically defined the daily national conversation.
Yeah, I think here's why his story matters so much, especially for you listening today. Laxman was the creator of the iconic, perpetually silent common man.
That figure, the dhoti, the checked coat, that sort of stunned expression, he wasn't just a cartoon character.
No, he was the nation's nonpartisan voice, really.
Yeah.
A vessel for satire, for social truth, even when things got difficult.
Absolutely. And his life story, it's like a masterclass in how to maintain your integrity, how to speak truth to power, but gently, you know, especially relevant in the polarized world we see today.
And the autobiography itself, The Tunnel of Time.
Mm-hmm.
It uses that same sharp eye, doesn't it?
Oh, completely. The same surgical precision and observational power that defined his cartoons. It's less about just his personal history.
Right.
And more social history, really. It traces India's rapid changes, the political evolution from colonial times right up to the turn of the millennium. It's quite a sweep.
The chronological journey.
So let's unpack that journey. We should probably start with his formative years, right? Born 1921, Mysore.
That's right. Youngest of six children. Middle-class Brahmin family. And that household environment seems absolutely key.
How so?
Well, his father was a school headmaster, so you had this strong, scholarly, traditional culture at home, a respect for learning, for tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But then his mother provided this grounding, this practical wisdom, a balance, maybe.
And then there was the most significant creative influence right there in the house.
Oh, definitely. His older brother, R.K. Narayan.
Who would become this celebrated English language novelist. That connection must have been powerful.
Incredible synergy. You know, Narayan built the fictional world of Malgudi with words.
Yeah, the famous Malgudi.
And later, Laxman illustrated those novels, literally giving Malgudi its visual life. It's an amazing partnership.
And Laxman's own urge to draw started really early, didn't it? Almost an obsession.
Completely. He talks about covering every surface, walls, notebooks, floors with his drawings, his scratchings. Just couldn't stop.
And what was he drawing back then?
Just ordinary life. Street vendors, everyday scenes, pure observation, even as a kid. But his absolute favorite subject, you might find this a bit funny, was crows.
Crows?
Yes, the crows. He called them his first and most enduring subjects. He loved their character, the sharp black lines of their form, the drama they brought to just everyday scenes.
That's fascinating. It's like he was studying character, not just birds.
Exactly. He was studying their demeanor, their intelligence, sometimes their pomposity, their quiet observation. You can almost see it as practice, foundational work for what later became the common man.
Wow. And there was a moment, wasn't there? A teacher recognized his talent early on.
Yes. A teacher praised his drawing of a people leaf. A really detailed drawing. And that must have been, you know, huge validation for him. Confirmation that this wasn't just messing around. It was a real talent.
But that natural talent didn't automatically translate into, say, academic success.
No, quite the opposite, actually. He admits he was a distracted student, wasn't interested in rote learning, struggled with the formal system.
Which leads us to a really critical moment. A moment that could have stopped everything.
The crucial rejection.
Yeah.
He applied to the prestigious JJ School of Art in Bombay. Hugely important institution.
And they turned him down flat. What was the specific reason they gave?
Well, officially they said his portfolio lacked a basic understanding of drawing. Which is pretty harsh.
Wow.
But the subtext was even worse. They basically criticized him for drawing people as they actually looked messy, flawed, real. Not how they should look according to, you know, idealized academic rules.
That's almost the definition of an insult to an observational artist. But in the book, The Tunnel of Time, he frames this rejection very differently.
He saw it as a gift, ultimately, a blessing in disguise. It cemented his path as being self-taught. It forced him onto the streets, into becoming this compulsive people watcher.
So it preserved his unique style, kept it raw.
Exactly. It kept him free from those academic constraints that might have, well, sterilized his line, his authentic way of seeing.
His first proper job then was in the 1940s at the Free Press Journal in Bombay.
That's right. And interestingly, he worked alongside another young cartoonist there who ended up on a very, very different political path, Paul Thackeray.
Wow, imagine those two in the same office back then.
Quite something to think about. But Laxman's real national breakthrough came in 1947 when he joined the Times of India.
And that gave him the platform he needed.
Yes, a national stage. And, crucially, the editorial freedom to really develop his unique voice, which leads us, inevitably, to his greatest creation.
The Common Man. Created for his daily cartoon, you said it, starting in the early 1950s.
He needed someone consistent, a silent observer for the strip. And the result is just sheer genius in its simplicity.
That dhoti-clad figure, the checked coat, always silent, always looking slightly bewildered by it all.
He perfectly embodies the long-suffering Indian everyman, doesn't he? Nonpartisan, but affected by absolutely everything the politicians do. He became this enduring cultural icon, the silent majority personified.
And for five decades, Laxman used him to chronicle India's journey, from Nehru's idealism.
Right through the more turbulent times, different governments, different crises, up to Prime Minister Vajpayee, an incredible run.
And his work wasn't just The Common Man, though that's what he's most famous for.
No, absolutely. He gave visual life to his brother's Malgudi novels, as we mentioned, and he also created the Gatu mascot for Asian Paints, which is instantly recognizable to millions in India.
So the memoir, The Tunnel of Time, it really feels like a culmination, looking back on this immense body of work and the changing country he witnessed.
Exactly. It's a life spent watching, drawing, and reflecting on India's whole transformation.
Core philosophy and values.
It's just staggering to think about that level of output, day after day for 50 years, maintaining that quality. So let's dig into the why. What was really driving him? What kept him going?
I think his entire worldview was rooted in something you could call observational humanism.
Observational humanism.
Yeah. Mm. His loyalty wasn't to any political party or any ism, as he'd say. It was purely to the ordinary person he saw every day on the street.
So deep empathy for the common person.
Deep empathy combined with a really profound skepticism towards power, towards institutions, towards any kind of pomposity. He just couldn't stand pomposity.
And humor was his weapon against that.
Absolutely. But it's a specific kind of humor. In a country like India, with such intense political feelings, you might wonder if he was ever seen as too gentle, maybe, or not taking sides strongly enough.
Right. Did he get criticized for that nonpartisan stance?
He probably did sometimes, but that was the core of his genius, the subtlety. He didn't see laughter as just, you know, escapism. He saw it as a form of resistance, a much more effective one than just shouting or being angry.
He had that great quote, didn't he, about humor.
Yeah. Humor is not the opposite of seriousness. It is anger that has learned to laugh at itself.
Powerful.
Right. It really is. And by critiquing all sides with that same gentle, equal force, he earned this incredible respect across the board. His nonpartisanship actually gave his commentary more weight.
Because he wasn't just seen as a mouthpiece for one side.
Exactly. He wasn't a tool. He was an observer. So his core motivation, it wasn't fame. It wasn't money. It was something else.
What would you say it was?
I think it was truth-telling, but a very specific kind of truth, the gentle, illuminating truth that comes from compassion and observation. He wanted to give a visual voice to the voiceless.
Which explains why the common man never spoke.
Precisely. He didn't need to. His expression, his posture, it said everything about the reality that millions felt, but maybe couldn't articulate in the face of, you know, big political pronouncements.
And maintaining that stance for so long requires a certain kind of character, doesn't it? Resilience.
Oh, immense emotional fortitude. A quiet persistence. You see it in how he dealt with setbacks throughout his life. He didn't see them as defeats.
Like the art school rejection we talked about.
Exactly. He saw it not as you failed, but as, okay, this confirms my path has to be different. That kind of philosophical acceptance let him navigate decades of political storms without becoming bitter, without ever compromising that unique line, that unique vision.
Three pivotal turning points.
Okay, let's zoom in on three specific moments from The Tunnel of Time. Three turning points that really seem to shape his destiny and define his legacy. The first one we've touched on, the art school rejection in 1939.
Yeah, it's worth revisiting just how critical this was. Imagine being young, passionate, and being told by the experts that you fundamentally can't draw. that your way of seeing is wrong. Devastating.
But the transformation wasn't just about him deciding to teach himself. It was deeper than that.
I think so. It was a psychological break. It was his own declaration of independence from convention, from authority telling him what art should be. It preserved that raw observational quality.
And probably fueled his skepticism of institutions for the rest of his life.
You have to think so, right? His strength came from the street, from watching real life, not from a classroom imposing rules. That early dismissal really informed his entire anti-establishment, or at least anti-pomposity viewpoint.
Okay, second pivotal moment. This has to be the creation of the common man around 1951.
Yes. This is where his philosophy gets a face, an embodiment. He needed that anchor for the daily, you said it, it strip, someone consistent who could just be there amidst all the political noise and chaos.
And crystallizing that figure, that silent, ordinary man.
Was his most profound conceptual leap, I think. It allowed him to comment not just on politics, but on the effect of politics on the everyday person, the enduring population.
Which is a crucial distinction.
It really is. That's what elevated him, I believe, from being just a very talented political cartoonist to becoming a genuine cultural philosopher for India.
All right, and the third turning point. This one tested him in a different way. The emergency period. From 1975 to 1977.
A really dark period in modern Indian history. For anyone listening who might not recall, this was when Prime Minister Indira Gandhi imposed strict press censorship, suspended civil liberties, a state of emergency.
So for a political commentator, a cartoonist like Laxman, the risks must have been enormous.
Huge. Journalists, cartoonists, editors were being arrested. Newspapers faced closure. It was a direct authoritarian threat to freedom of expression. Laxman couldn't just draw his usual biting cartoons anymore.
So how did he navigate that? How did he respond without compromising his core values?
Through subtlety. Through allegory. He had to find ways around the direct censorship, using visual symbols that his readers would understand, even if the censors couldn't technically pin him down.
Is there an example of that?
There's a really powerful story he tells. He kept drawing the common man, of course, but in one cartoon during the emergency, the common man looks into a mirror.
Yes.
And the reflection looking back at him is a prisoner behind bars.
Wow. That's incredibly powerful. Resistance through implication.
Exactly. It defied the letter of the censorship law while upholding the spirit of democratic dissent. That period didn't just test his courage, which it certainly did. It absolutely confirmed his status as a quiet but profound defender of democratic values.
Human lessons and reflection.
When you look back at Laxman's life, this quiet genius, there are so many lessons there for us today, navigating our own noisy, often polarized world. What are some of the universal principles we can draw from his journey in the tunnel of time?
Well, the first one has to be the power of persistent observation. I mean, his success wasn't built on flashy connections or, you know, shouting the loudest. It was built on this lifelong commitment to just paying attention carefully, continuously, finding the drama, the truth, the character in things that most people overlook, the crows, a gecko on the wall, the way a bus conductor holds himself.
So it's about the quality of attention.
Absolutely. His life really shows that deep success, lasting impact, often depends more on how well you observe the world around you than on formal credentials or aggressive self-promotion. Just look.
That feels very relevant today. Oh. And another thing that strikes me is how integrity became his superpower. In a world that often rewards taking extreme stances, his nonpartisan voice gave him incredible credibility.
It really did. He earned that respect over decades. And maybe the lesson for us trying to practice respectful dissent is understanding how he maintained that credibility.
Which was
by critiquing hypocrisy wherever he saw it, with equal force, regardless of which political side it came from. He wasn't avoiding politics. He just refused to be earned by it.
That independence was the key.
It was the source of his power. His commentary cut deeper precisely because people knew he was an honest observer, not pushing an agenda.
And then there's his use of humor as wisdom and survival. It wasn't just about making people laugh.
No, it was much more sophisticated. He showed us that humor is this vital tool for making difficult truths accessible, for processing social chaos, and importantly, for stripping away the self-importance and pomposity of power.
It gives you a sense of control almost.
It gives you agency, exactly. Mm. When you can laugh at a difficult situation or at someone trying to exert power over you, you retain something essential. Laxman demonstrated that laughter isn't just a release valve. It's often the sharpest, most effective weapon against hypocrisy and authoritarian tendencies. It's a form of wisdom.
Three final takeaways.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into R.K. Laxman's The Tunnel of Time, Let's try to distill it down. What are three final, powerful insights we can take away from his remarkable life and work?
Okay, let's try. First, an emotional insight. I think it's that deep, almost sensory nostalgia he has for his childhood in Mysore. His ability to find such profound meaning, such character and drama in those ordinary early details.
The crows, the people leaf.
Right. It really affirms the value of our own formative experiences, the things that might seem insignificant. Your roots, the small dramas you witness first, they shape how you see the world. They matter deeply.
That's a lovely thought. Okay, an intellectual insight.
This comes straight from his own mouth, that radical declaration of artistic independence. I don't give a damn for the isms. I'm not a socialist, rightist, leftist, or a centralist. I'm a cartoonist.
Just brilliant.
Isn't it? It just underscores how vital that independent, nonpartisan observation is if you want real intellectual clarity, if you want your social commentary to actually land, to be effective. Don't get trapped by labels.
Makes sense. And finally, a universal insight, something practical we can all apply.
I think it's simply this. Consistency is a superpower. Laxman's monumental legacy, spanning half a century. It wasn't built on one viral cartoon or one dramatic standoff.
No, it was the daily grind.
It was the daily disciplined act of showing up, observing, thinking, drawing, and producing high-quality work day after day, year after year. It's a powerful demonstration of the incredible accumulated power of long-term commitment. Just keep doing the work.
Closing narration, exact text.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.